Okay, here we go.
Yeah. Mm. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Oh, we have to start singing, I think.
Singing, okay. Yeah. Any tune you like?
Yeah, maybe Taylor Swift.
If I knew any of her songs,
yeah, I'm trying to sing. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Shot through the heart, and you're to blame. You give love a bad name.
It was Bon Jovi.
Bon Jovi.
Yeah, perfect.
It was the first album I bought, Slippery When Wet, back in 1986.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I had a choice.
For your own money?
My own money. Wow. I was 12. I went to Dublin on a school tour. My friend, he got the cool album. He got, but you know, Bon Jovi aren't that cool anymore. He got the Joshua Tree by U2,
yeah,
which is one of, now it's one of my favorite albums. But back then, I bought Bon Jovi for some stupid reason.
Ze studia Voice House, Padar de Burka i Jarosław Kuźniar. Seria podcastów English Stories to humor i nauka w jednym. Bierzcie i mam nadzieję dobrze się bawcie. Nie napinamy się na gramatykę, ale też nie lekceważymy jej zasad. Staramy się opowiadać historię, nie kombinując zbytnio przy trudnych słowach. Dodajemy także sobie odwagi, poczuciem humoru i anegdotami. Padar de Burka to pisarz i felietonista z irlandzkiego miasta Galway. Zanim przyjechał do Gliwic, występował w Irlandii jako stand-uper. Bardzo nam się to w studiu przydaje. Zapraszam do audycji, do oceny i do dyskusji. So today we wanna talk about our kids and our behavior, I mean parents' behavior, when we decide to send our kids for tennis or jujitsu or music courses. What do you think?
I think we're trying to live our life, our failed, miserable childhood that I had, where I was shit at soccer, I was shit at every sport, I was crap, I tried everything and I was crap, and now I'm trying to live my life through my three daughters.
It's crazy.
That's why I got my daughter, when we were in Ireland, I got my middle daughter, Melina, to go and play soccer, to join a soccer team.
It's typical for ladies in
it's
Ireland.
Big. It's really big. Oh, yeah, lady stuff was really, really big. And I thought, okay, this is my chance now that I can relive my life where I was terrible.
But tell me, have you asked her before?
Yeah, I did. I asked because Melina will come with me and she'll watch Liverpool. I'm a Liverpool supporter. So she'll come with me and she'll watch the Champions League matches in a friend's house. And she always comes and she'll, you know, watch and enjoy it. That's the reason I thought she could be the one that'll be my soccer star. And unfortunately, she inherited all the shit genes, my shit soccer genes, and she was terrible too. She was terrible at soccer. Yeah, yeah. She couldn't kick anything. She was kicking herself more than she was kicking the ball. It was terrible.
But how many years you tried?
I played soccer from the age of 10 until the age of 24. Yeah. And what I got out of it was I got a lot of injuries. Bad knees, and I was terrible. I was just terrible. I was fooling myself. I was a bad player.
But why soccer? You have rugby teams in Ireland.
In the 80s in Ireland and the 90s, soccer was very, very popular. Now it's rugby. Rugby. We have our Irish sports, Gaelic football, and the game with the stick. Have you seen the game with the stick? Hurling?
No.
It's called hurling.
Okay.
Okay, if you ever go to Ireland, go and see a hurling game. It's our national sport.
Okay.
And it's 15 guys against 15 guys, and they have a stick each. And they have this leather ball and they whack it at speeds of up to, like, you know, 60 kilometers an hour. And they're hitting each other with the sticks and they have to score goals. It's the same formation as a soccer match, but you can catch the ball and it's 15 psychos against 15 psychos and they're whacking the hell out of each other. And every year, about maybe 9 people die from playing this sport in Ireland. It's crazy. It's nuts. And you see it being played. When it's played by the good guys, it's a really skillful game, you know? But at the lower level, it's just nutcases going around who, like, you know, it's organized thuggery. Okay. These guys get away with stuff that they'd be arrested for if they were doing it in the city center, you know? Yeah. It's terrible.
Do they have some helmets?
They do. It became compulsory to wear helmets 10 years ago. Before that, guys were just getting their heads whacked all over the place.
Wow, crazy.
Irish sport. So, jiu-jitsu.
Yeah, but when we go into jiu-jitsu, give me a second to ask you, what about your father, for example?
Yeah, yeah, go
on. Coming back into that moment when he said, you have to go and play soccer or not.
Yeah, you see, Yara, my dad was a very, very specific kind of guy. He never picked up a ball or played a sport in his life.
Okay.
And my mother was the same way. My mother never did sport either. I was very sporty, which is weird because both my parents were, you know, just didn't have anything to do with sport. So there was never anything about that. So I'd come home and I'd be all sweaty and kind of talking about the game and where I almost scored a goal and with a guy trying to stop me and I got a red card or wherever the story is. And my dad would be like, oh, very nice. Very nice.
Okay.
What happened then? And I'd be like, but don't you understand? I got sent off and we lost the final. Oh, it was a final. Oh, okay. Better luck next time. He had no competitive edge in him at all, which was kind of nice, but it was very, very strange. You know, he was just a man who was removed from all typical areas of like the typical male masculine guy, you know?
Mm. Yeah, but soccer in general, Great Britain and Ireland, I think it's some kind of style of living for young people or not.
Yeah, it's very tribal. In England especially. Yeah, so you have soccer is very important to people there. So it's about your city, about your team, your colours and all that. But I don't see it really because you're watching the guys who play for Manchester or Liverpool. None of them come from there or very few of them come from there. So I don't know if it represents, it's entertainment now. That's what it is at the big level, you know. I played soccer and it was a working class, if that term is still used. It was like poor guys from poor areas. I played on a team with a lot of guys who were ended up in jail. And you kind of knew when you were playing with them that, you know, these guys, I have to be nice to these. I'm glad I'm with these guys. You know, I'm glad I'm not playing against them, you know. And a lot of games would, in Ireland anyway, would end in brawls. You'd be playing a team from a different area and they'd be tough, poor guys as well. And if something was said on the pitch, it would turn into a 22-man brawl, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I remember from the 80s and 90s, you know? I don't know, was it like that here with soccer here? It was really awful, actually. It was tough. I didn't like it, you know? But I persevered. I stuck at it. I fooled myself into believing that I was not bad at soccer, but I was terrible. I was terrible. I was awful.
Give me a chance to say something about my journey through soccer. It was in Bielawa. I was, I don't know, maybe 12, maybe. I was a goalkeeper, you know.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, but, you know, very amateur goalkeeper.
Okay.
And I was dreaming that I will be Jarosław Bako. It was one of Polish famous in the past goalkeeper.
Okay.
So I went for a match, but I forgot my bike. And I leave my bike in front of my flat without the security chain, you know?
Yeah, no lock.
No lock. And my father came back home and saw that. And when I come back from the match, I don't have time to explain what we did with my team because I got a huge lanie in Polish. You know, it was my father took the belt and show me that leaving the bike without the lock, it wasn't a good idea.
Okay. You got whacked. You got beaten.
Oh. It was my last time when I went for playing the soccer. Today, I think that I have to say thank you to Jan Kuźniar. But yeah, now I'm trying to play tennis. And I'm trying not to give my own ideas about the sports to my kids, but it's hard.
It's very hard.
It's very hard.
It's very hard.
Tennis is a beautiful game. Why you don't want to go for a court? Because not. Okay.
I know.
You know, so I don't know how it will be working with Kuba. Kuba is 2 years now, so it's too early. But yeah, I tried a few things with my daughter. It was horse riding, it was tennis, it was swimming, and it was hard to focus her on that more than twice.
I tried my older girls, Lily and Melina, with badminton. Badminton's popular
in
Ireland.
Yeah, yeah.
And I played badminton too. So of course, I'm the expert. I think I know everything. And I'm trying to teach them. And we ended up going to all happy to play badminton. And every time we came back, we were hating each other because I was screaming at them, no, you do it this way. Do it this way. Hold it this way. You have to hold the racket like you're holding a frying pan. This is what I was told. And I'm trying to pass on my wisdom. And they hate you.
Yeah, I think that maybe there are some kind of parents who are very good at teaching their own children. But I think that it's a very wrong idea.
Yeah, it's not me. I was very bad. So I got them when they came back to Poland. We found a trainer in Zabrze, of all places, and they did badminton there. But they gave it up. They weren't, you know, if they're not really into it, if they're not like wanting to go training, if you have to force them and remind them, then you know that they're not really into it, you know. My younger girl who likes, she's 5 and she likes Gertruda, she likes martial arts.
Oh.
So she kept pestering me, daddy, can we do martial? So I was passing some like really rough gym It was a really rough place. It didn't even have a sign outside, yeah. But I could see guys inside training. So I went in and I knocked on the door and I said, do you guys do martial arts? And they went, yeah. I said, do it for kids? And they went, yeah, yeah, we do. I said, okay, can I sign her up? And they went, yeah, sure. But a parent has to do it with her. I said, oh, okay. And I said, okay, that'll be me then. I'll do it with her. Stupidly, I was thinking to myself, will I have to fight other kids if I'm... If I'm doing this, maybe I can win if I'm fighting other kids. And then I realized, no, there'll be other parents. I'll have to fight other parents. So, because we all have to do the training together. So I was there the first day of training, I was there and I could see these very tough dads coming in who obviously do jiu-jitsu themselves and want their kids to be doing it. So they're coming in, their muscles, their tattoos, they look really tough. I'm going, fuck, these guys are going to kick the shit out of me. I'm going, Gertruda, maybe you can just do it on your own. No, daddy, I want you. So we had to do it together. And luckily, in this early stage, we've only done it for the first three or four weeks. There's no fighting yet. So we're all training together. We're running together.
So warming up.
Yeah. Warming up. We're learning how to fall, how to stretch. And at the end, we have the kind of the special cushion that the kids kick and we hold it for them.
Wow, yeah.
So it's nice. But some of the dads... These dads were very fit and tough looking. Yeah. They're very competitive with their kids.
Oh.
They're like, you know, Kuba, you know, Jan. Yeah. You know? And they're ordering them to kick higher, to punch harder.
But they are good at that, or they are thinking that they are better than their children, or maybe better than the trainer?
Well, the trainer kind of, he's a funny guy, actually. He's a nice guy, but he's on his phone all the time. So he just tells people, okay, run around. Okay, now we're going to do the kicking, and then it's down to the parents. Yep. To train the kid and
paying him.
Yeah, yeah. We're paying him to stand with his phone. And he's really good at it too, standing with his phone. But these guys are going, you know, kick harder. And, you know, most of these kids are like little, they're five, they're six. And boys at that age just want to have fun and run around. And most of them are having fun.
Yeah, I think that we, in general, not always, forget that it's about the funny moments. Yeah, the funny games. Sometimes playing with some kind of games. Playing with tennis, not playing tennis.
Yeah.
And I saw a lot of moments when it was in general father, not mother, was standing close to the court or sitting and shouting at the child that it was bad. And I know that especially in tennis, it's not the cheapest one kind of sports. And when you invested, maybe it's that kind of thinking that when I invested in you a huge amount of money, you have to play like Iga Świątek now. I know that you have 7 years old, but you have to play like Świątek now.
Well, I'll tell you a story about going back to the soccer. And one of the worst things that happened to me when I was maybe 16, I used to play in the center of midfield. And I was the guy that would tackle. I was a good tackler. And I remember tackling this guy on the opposition team, and I think I hurt him a little bit. And his father was on the sideline, and his father ran on the pitch and hit me.
Oh,
he punched me.
Whoa.
And I was flattened. I was knocked out. And I woke up and I was dizzy, and there was people around this man who was going nuts, and they were holding him back, and his son was crying. It was one of those bizarre moments where, you know, like being in a Fellini movie. It was really, really strange. And he was, you don't kick my son ever again or I'll kill you. And so the father, obviously there were some issues with this man, you know, but parents, fathers especially, they get, again, they're reliving their own childhood through the kid. That's what it's a psychological thing.
Yeah, but sometimes it was one moment when I decide to go with my friend and his daughter, and I took Zosia to go for a ballet.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know nothing about that, you know. But
as you shouldn't know anything about it. Yeah. I'd be worried if you did.
Yeah, but it was crazy to see parents sitting in front of the huge mirror looking at the children and saying, no, not that leg, no higher. No, please be quiet because you are not a trainer. And we can see that you are not the master in ballet. So be careful about your words, because sometimes the words can hurt so much.
Yeah, exactly. I think if there's a guy paid to do something, and even if he's looking at his phone, I just leave it to him.
Yeah.
He's the expert. I don't want to get involved in this. If I don't know anything about it, So I think that's the best way to do. Pick a sport where you know nothing and you don't really care too much about it and you have no connection to it. So you're not trying to relive your own youth to it and change your own, you know, miserable childhood. And just let the kid do whatever he wants or whatever she wants.
Yeah, as you said at the beginning, we try to see ourselves from the past in our child now. Yeah,
Gertie's at this jiu-jitsu thing and they have padded walls. And all the kids, they just love running into the wall and falling. And that's the thrill for them. And Gertie, we do this thing where you have to get on your father's back or the parents' back. Yeah. And I have to shake her off. And this is her favorite moment in the jiu-jitsu. Not even the kicking or, you know, the cool stuff. Yeah, yeah. It's daddy trying to throw her off her back.
Yeah, but it sounds like play together, not fighting, not training.
And that's what it is. It's playing. And she's enjoying it. She comes back and her mother goes, "Did you enjoy yourself today?" And she goes, "Yeah, daddy couldn't throw me off his back." "But did you do any No, daddy couldn't throw me off his back. I strangled daddy." Yeah. And this is the big thing for her. So she's having fun with it. So hopefully jiu-jitsu will mean fun. At this level, that's all it should be. It should be a fun thing. She's having fun. She's running around with kids.
Okay, but tell me, could you imagine you giving some kind of advice, your children standing on the stage, for example?
Yes, good question. Good question. Yes, this would be the tricky one.
Because you are good at that.
This is the thing that I see myself that I did before I came to Poland, and I feel I have a little bit of knowledge about it. So yeah, if I was directing them in a theater show, I wouldn't go there. I'd say, "Sorry, you have to do it with someone else."
Yeah.
Because I would be too awful with them. I'd say it would ruin our relationship. Because I don't think I'm mature enough to be able to kind of go, "Okay, darling, you're not doing that the way I'd like you to do it." And we talked about this many times at home, you know, and you should know better because we've been doing this since you were 5 years of age. So I think I would lose my temper with them because I think I'm the expert at this thing.
You think. So the same me. I think that I am the expert, but I don't know when I'm the expert in my daughter's eyes.
Well, you know, as the guy who's played the sport before or done the theater before, whatever it is, or if you were teaching your daughter to be, you know, to host a show, I'd say you would, you know, she would know that you have more experience, right? But it's you wanting her to be really good because she has you as a father. And people are going to go, "Why isn't she good at that? You know, Yara's her father. She can't host a show. What's wrong with this girl?" So if people saw my daughter on stage and they went, "Oh my God, she's really terrible." And you know, her dad is a theater guy. She should be better. So that's where the problem comes in.
Yeah, or maybe we are thinking about and we are using our whole knowledge and try to give it in 1 hour to our child who are 10, 12. So it's the problem.
Yeah, it is the problem. I think with my girls who show an interest in theater and acting, I try to get them to just look at YouTube and I say, "Look, here's a famous movie speech. Just go and listen to that." Yeah. Listen to Jack Nicholson going, you know, "You can't handle the truth," or whatever it is. And come back to me when you're 15 or something, you know.
And I think that sometimes giving a good example from others, not from us, will be better. Because our child, when they want to ask for help, they will know the way.
Of course.
But in general, to give them some kind of example from maybe from our competitors will give them some kind of new context. And maybe it will be easy or easier for them to catch something from that kind of example.
It's like you said, if they want something, if they are interested in your line of work, in daddy's
You are good maybe at that, so show me something.
Yeah, they'll come to you and they'll ask you for a little bit of advice. But I'd say the best thing to do would be to just hang back and wait for it, you know? With the jiu-jitsu, I know I'm so crap at it. For me, it's fun too. So I have no expertise to give her. I don't care if she's good or bad. And that means that there's no pressure on her to be good at it.
And on her and yourself. Because you don't have your own pressure on you that it's my daughter and she has to be very good at being professional host.
Exactly.
Now.
No. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Look at us. We're smart guys. We know it. We're smart. We don't want to put pressure on her.
You are 50, I'm 45. So we have to be. But they are too young for that.
Too young for pressure. Yeah, exactly. You got to let them enjoy it.
It's perfect. Too young for pressure.
Too young for pressure.
Yeah.
That's good. That's like a name of an album or something, isn't it? A rap album.
Please say it again.
Too young for pressure?
Too young for pressure.
Too young for pressure.
Too young for pressure. Badr and Jarek. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Sarah.